It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 139, coming to you like Ricky Martin, living his la vida loca. On this week's podcast, we discuss how COVID has changed our lives from glam, showbiz... Well, I fucking don't remember that, Maura.
Don't remember that, Maura.
To standing on the sideline roaring at young fellas like we are now.
He claims Daniel O'Donnell has a woman in every county and has seen more arse than pampers. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
The last man to tell her that her place was in the kitchen found out that his place was in the hospital with a broken jaw. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as lads at weddings taking off their ties and wearing them like headbands on the dance floor, we run off the podcast with our...
Yurts and Dirts of the Week.
If you're a new listener to the podcast, stop and in the words of Craig David, rewind.
Stop in the name of love.
It'll make more sense there. And we just want to say that this podcast will contain adult humour. And it's just mental. So if you're in the car with your old one listening, right, or under 18.
Make sure she's a bit of crack.
Yeah.
Make sure your ma's a bit of crack.
Make sure your ma's, you know, she's in on the joke with you. You know, and if you're under 18, you should not be listening.
Yeah, if your ma's shit crack, turn off now.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Enda has a message saying he was re-listening to some of the old pods and heard a girl complain about how she had to reschedule a holiday due to the GAA. She's obviously not like my mother who changed the date of her wedding from a Saturday to a Sunday just so the old fella could play in the Connacht final replay. County. It was worth it anyway. They won and Dad got man of the match, I think. Just, it's a good story.
That's what he's telling you.
Got man of the match, yeah. Kicked every pint as well.
He was a sub to fucker.
Just thought you would enjoy that story. Plus, the two farmers on about the milking didn't tell you about the cows' tails that are like nunchucks. And milking the cows one evening got such a slap off a cow's tail, it broke a tooth. Jeez. Not nice, but take the good with the bad. At least she didn't kick me.
There you go. You have to be positive.
Well, if your dad was there, he would have caught the tail and fucked it over the bar.
What else did he be doing with it? On lending money from last week's... that was Maura's mystery topic last week, I think. Anonymous said, on lending friends money, I got married 2 years ago in September and on the build-up to the Stag Club in Santa Ponza. Johnny will love it. Yes, we both love it. One of my groomsmen was struggling for money and was considering pulling out. Ooh. So I lent him £100 and he was to pay me at the end of the month when he gets his wages. Safe to say, I never saw the £100. To make matters worse, I never received a card from him from the wedding and he had one with him on the day. Safe to say, he completely spunked the money. So that was a double whammy. For anyone picking their groomsmen, be very careful. Up East Belfast GA, lads, says this fella.
Damn, bad bastard. Well, Patrick emailed saying, morning, lads. On last week's mystery topic, what?
Sorry for a sec.
What?
Would you not say it to your groomsman? Honestly, the lad standing at the altar with those lads. Just to say, lads, if you're listening, have the cards on the day or risk the wrath of me. And Annie will probably give you two black eyes. I won't even have to.
Don't want PayPal.
Yeah, no.
Don't want Stripe.
Don't want Revolut. Hard cash. Paper, baby, paper.
Smacks wants your card to be like... Thud.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah, silent collection, as they say in mass.
Shaking the envelope, looking at it.
Well, Patrick, John, you're interrupting Patrick.
Sorry.
He said on Maura's mystery topic about lending money to folk. When I was 18, I bumped into a fella. Listen here, fella, who was in school with me mother. He was about 50 and had a good enough job, but he was a few light bulbs short of a picnic. One of those lads who asks you questions they already know the answer to. Like, what's my brother's name? Is that my wife? Do you know me? You do.
that's one of the best ones ever. Do you know me? You do. Like, if you have to ask that question, they don't know you.
So anyway, he asks me if he can borrow 20 quid. I say aye, but thought it quite queer. Anyways, he paid me back by sending a £5 note in the post for the next 4 months. As weird as that is, fair play to him. One day my mother opened the letter whilst I was at sea, figured out who it was from and thought he was trying to groom me. Anyway, please tell Johnny Smacks to step out for belts
because
In episode 113, you called Labradors stupid smacks. Yeah. Step out for belts.
They ate my runners. They ate my runners.
Well,
and just to say that that's odd that your man send him the fiver every few months like, to pay it back. I once paid for a car using coins.
I remember that.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, because your man had stiffed me or anything like that. That was all the money I had to buy my 00 Ford Focus at the time. I needed a new car. And it was like, I'll never forget, it was €1,990 your man wanted for the car. And I gave most of it like in like cash, you know, money. And like a few tenors now thrown in fairness.
Yeah.
And then the last tenor was 5-2 euros. And I like literally put the money across the desk to your man. And he just looked at me and said, you can hold on to that. I never felt as low. I done everything bar take the runners off and be like, listen, do you accept Nikes?
Oh man, that's always the way.
Mm.
If I was ever buying anything for cash, like, and if it came to...
You're an exception to most rules.
No, listen. If it came to like €400, you never pay in all 50s or 100s because then they think it's not a bother. You have to be like a couple of 50s, couple of 20s, couple of 10s and 5s and then they feel like, look, you know, see if I haggle them then.
Yeah.
They really feel like, oh, that's all he had. Like, yeah. Well, so if the price is 400 quid, like, there you go, 400 euro notes. They're like, this lad's flash.
Yeah, and he was like that. She was like, when we were going to look at a car, she's like, don't bring the nice car. Like,
yeah, yeah. Now.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Annie. No.
You cheeky. Threesomes.
Sorry. Threesomes. Threesomes. Maura's mystery topic was about threesomes.
Anonymous was in touch. Lads and Maureen, please keep me anonymous. We will. Thought you might be interested in this. So there is a site called Fab Swingers here in Ireland. Can neither confirm nor deny if I am on it, this person says. And as the title goes, you can imagine what it's all about. There are all sorts of people on it, from single men and women to couples and everything in between. You set up a profile like any normal dating site. Who, what you're looking for and what kind of interests you have. Adult parties, cyber sex, phone sex, even all the way to water sports. When I figured out what water sports... Honestly, the first time I seen that was like water sports. I was like, that's fucking jet skis and stuff.
Canoeing.
Honestly, I swear to God, I genuinely thought like jet skis or wakeboarding or something.
Well, you're going to have to enlighten me, lad.
Water sports is like... urinating basically on something.
Fuck away.
Yeah, I was honestly, I swear, the first
dirt.
I only figured it out a year ago as well. You don't want to know how I figured it out. If you're a male on the site, you can get lucky and get chatting to single women or even couples that you want to join them for fun. Some like to play it together, or some men like to watch you with their wives. That's voyeurism, I believe that's called.
Oh, someone's been reading the dictionary.
Yep. Wives like to watch their husbands with other women. One of you would have to join up to get the real experience and understand what I'm talking about. And he just closes off by saying, enjoy.
I won't.
We won't be signing up to Fab Swingers, but thanks a million for that insight.
What was the one I said I signed up to? Catholic Swingers or something.
Yeah, now that was, now you signed Noel up.
Yeah, it was great crack though.
Just to clarify, you didn't sign up yourself.
No, the young one's mad for a bit and all. Another anonymous listener was in touch. Fake names being used for this. He said, a good few years ago, me and the lads, we were about 19, 20 years of age. We'd go to the pub at the weekend and sit in our usual spot. And the parents and our friends' parents would usually be sitting over the far side with their friends. They were all in the mid to late 40s. One night, my friend, let's call him Mark, who I might add was our version of the Chalk Ice. Good looking. No issue pulling the women.
Doesn't sound like the Chalk Ice.
Went to the bar to get a drink where he stood next to my other friend, let's say Kevin, Kevin's father, and they got to chatting. Kevin's dad was asking Mark, "Yous lads going on the pull in the nightclub later, etc." All those types of questions. Mark said, "Ah yeah, you know yourself." The father then nodded over at his wife and said, "Well, if you don't pull tonight, I don't mind sharing."
Jesus.
Naturally, Mark was a bit taken aback by what he thought his friend's father's strange sense of humour, but just brushed it off and had a laugh. This went on for a while. Anytime they would meet at the bar or the toilet, the father would nudge him and say, "Don't forget my little offer."
Wow.
Once again, it was always just laughed off. Kevin was absolutely oblivious to all this, but Mark had told me. At first, I didn't believe him. I thought he was exaggerating, but after a while, I would see the father sometimes even swallow his pint when he would see Mark going to the bar. just so he'd have an excuse to go up beside him and order another one. We just laughed this off, especially considering the parents were very quiet people. Not in a million years would you think the father was serious. Anyway, a couple of weeks had passed and we were out on a night out. Usual stuff, pub first, on to the nightclub, greasy food, then back to one of our houses for cans. This time, however, we happened to go back to Kevin's house. We were having a few cans and a bit of crack. As the night got late, we dropped off. I walked home because I lived just down the road, but Mark stayed in his spare room. This wasn't unusual because he lived outside of town. Next morning, I was awoken by Mark knocking on my house, looking shook to say the least, and he proceeded to tell me the tales of what happened after I left. He said he was laying in bed, the house was quiet, everyone was asleep, or so he thought. He received the typical 4 a.m. drunk text message, "You up?" But this time, rather than it being from an ex or a horny lass from down the town, it was from our friend's father. He replied, "Yeah, what's up?" To which the father said, "Come here." Full of alcohol and hormones, my friend decided to go down to the parents' room and see what's up, where he was greeted by them both butt naked.
Oh, jeez.
Shocked, he did not know what to do. My friend's mother took him by the hand to the bed where they proceeded to do the deed while the father sat in the corner watching the whole thing, lad in hand. He said it was very off-putting, but nevertheless, he soldiered on. When he finished, he got dressed and went back to his room. Naturally, he couldn't sleep. So that's when he bailed out and came to my house to tell me all this. I couldn't believe it, but he showed me the messages.
Oh my God.
Things were awkward between him and the parents for a while, but it was never spoken of again.
I'm not surprised they were awkward. Is this serious?
To this day, Kevin...
I want to see their messages.
Kevin is completely... I do want to see the messages.
Yeah.
Kevin is completely oblivious. He moved to Australia like a year later, so that makes it a bit easier not having to face him, knowing what went down or who went down. We still see the parents around town, but it's as if it never happened. Was it bad form for my friend to do it? Yes. Would I have done the same if I was in his shoes? Abso-effin-lutely. I suppose all's well that ends well. If you do give me the mug, I'll pass it on to Mark. He listens to the podcast, so he'll definitely know the story is about him. After all, there can't be too many lads out there that shagged their friend's ma while the father jacked off in the corner. Up, tip, up, riding, I guess. down riding this time.
The two of us are even stammering here. We're taken aback. They've left out something like...
What?
Is your man's mother... She must be hot enough, like. No, but no, honestly. Like, I'm not trying to justify this, like. Like, I wouldn't do that now with my friend's parents.
But
that's because I don't fancy any of my friend's parents.
But if she was, you'd imagine he would have included that in the story. Now, Martin's, or whatever, Mark's, yeah. Mark's ma was a lasher or something, like. But no mention of it.
I need to know. I need to find out more on this.
Is Mark's ma on Instagram?
Pass on the details. Unsatisfying your partner. I don't know when we talked about this,
but
I don't know how this
mark?
Stuff is creeping in. We're trying to tidy this place up.
Yeah. Can we not get back to talk about
Farming and
Harlan?
Yeah.
Can we get John Leahy back on?
Yeah,
come on.
Young love or something. An anonymous lady emailed the podcast and says, "Well, lads and Maura, hope you're well. So I'm catching up in the podcast in episode 131 talking about not being satisfied in bed, and Smack says it's easier to get a lad off than a girl." I did say that.
Yeah.
"Had to shout up for the girls. So I'm bisexual, or as my ma says, loads of choice. I can say with no hesitation, the act itself, lads are harder. No pun. To picture the difference, imagine flicking through the channels on the telly compared to using a hand pump to do a blow-up bed. Or better yet, eating a Cornetto without biting it compared to a chicken fillet roll without biting it. Sorry for the visual." On that note, I have a story. "I've not told anyone, so please keep my name out of this. I'm sure the parties might figure it out and it would lead to an awkward Christmas dinner. A while ago, I met this lad above in Limerick and fancied the arse off. Obviously, I chanced it and somehow got lucky. The sex was pretty class now, but he did ask for some unconventional dirty talk. Fast forward a few years and I'm out with my football team. One of the girls asked me what sex with a girl is like. And just messing, I say, it would be easier to show you. She didn't get the joke though, and the next thing I knew, we're in her flat. I wasn't expecting much and told her we would make it all about her and not to worry about me since it's her first time. So going away grand, and she asked me to make an animal noise. What kind of animal, I ask? She says, like a tiger or something. How weird, I thought. I've had this before. It must be a common fetish or something. A while later, it triggered the memory of that lad in Limerick, and I wonder how he was doing. So I did a little bit of Facebook digging. What did I see? Mutual friends. Lads, aren't they only brother and sister? What kind of fecked up childhood memory is giving them that one? I'm half tempted to try the father now. She wants to complete the trilogy. First of all, that's mad that she's been with a brother and sister. Like, that's it's fair going, like, you know. But I still can't, like,
make animal noise.
No, yeah, right.
I'm not attracted to animals.
No, it's like, it would have been very funny if it was like, make animal noise, and she's just like, like, well, that's just a bit weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, but talking a Carlo accent.
I imagine that, yeah, talking to extra actions. Like, you like that, son? But, like, I'm still standing by my comment there that it is easier to get a man off. Like she said, like, it's very hard. You're, like, blowing up a bed. That takes ages. I don't know what kind of men she's been with.
You just have more practice.
Maybe. Mind control. Now, let's get on to a topic a little bit on a lighter note. And something that is, honestly, you've got no idea when this correspondence comes in. I almost cry with laughter. It's my favourite. It's right up there with Samba Soccer.
Bass Hunter.
Now you're gone. I hope the bit of music is playing when we say that.
Everyone's favourite DJ, Bass Hunter. Ashling was in touch to say, I am in college in WIT, Waterford, and have to join in on the stories about Bass Hunter. So it was Rag Week in WIT 2019, and Bass Hunter was playing the Monday night.
Jesus, Bass Hunter is still going now, like, yeah. 2019.
We did a load of college gigs, we were following him around.
Were we?
Us and Bass Hunter are like Clark Kent and Superman. You will never see us in the same venue at the same time.
We behave a little bit better than Bass Hunter.
Yeah, no, Bass Hunter walks into a phone box, two Johnnies come out, okay?
No. Bass Hunter walks into a hotel room, two Johnnies come out.
Anyway, Bass Hunter was doing the Monday night in WIT. I don't think I even went to his gig, but the following night, Sunset Bros were playing in the club Project. Yeah, we played there. And Bass Hunter had no gig that night, so he stayed on for the lads' gig.
Fucking hell, how is he alive? how is he still going, lad?
Anyway, on the night we went to the Sunset Bros gig for my friend's birthday, the night was mad. The Sunset Bros were climbing the side of the stage and Bass Hunter was in the middle with a bottle of
Stiffies.
Stiffies, I suppose, feeding it to the crowd. One of my friends got pulled on stage by Bass Hunter to feed her more drink and he made her sing. Anyway, I lost her and she went backstage. Oh! Typically, one of the other girls got too drunk and I had to bring her home. P.S. It was her birthday.
Okay, she's allowed.
When I got her back to the apartment and into bed, I got a call from the other girl saying to get down to the hotel that Bass Hunter and Sunset Bros had invited us for an after party. What? Really?
Can I just clarify here? How come none of this shit ever happened to us? Like when we done a gig in Waterford, we were waiting to get paid for 3 hours afterwards.
We were eating sandwiches. I just drove on.
I was going to letter a fella.
I just drove on. Myself and one of the girls went down to the hotel and on arrival couldn't find our friend. The only people in the bar were Bass Hunter and the Sunset Bros. We started chatting to them anyway and saying, why were we in the hotel that our friend was here for the party? Saying why we were there. We were here for the party. The Australian lads were sound and bought us a drink. So we sat down chatting to them for an hour. I won't lie, Bass Hunter was well on and wanted to buy us a room for the night, but we couldn't stay with him. So he got the night porter to get us a taxi for a 10-minute walk back to our apartment. I was happy to let Bass Hunter pay for my taxi home, but sure didn't he hand the taxi driver €50. The driver recognized him, and when we drove off, the taxi man started laughing and told us Bass Hunter is after giving €50 for a €5 taxi ride home. Taxi man was sound and gave us all the change. And to my delight, the next day was Dome Day. My day drinking in the Dome was covered by Bass Hunter.
€45 goes a long way on €3 pints of Bavaria, lad. Let me tell you that.
Do you know, Bass Hunter, I can't decide if I think he's a hero or a mutant.
Yeah, it's he's still... maybe the next story might swing
Here
us.
We go, more Bass Hunter.
Another story about Bass Hunter feed air. 2 years ago, Bass Hunter was announced for one of the local nightclubs in Offaly.
Yes.
It's an absolute kip of a place, and I would never set foot in it only for Bass Hunter being there that night. I was 21 at the time and thought loads of people I grew up with would be there. Considering he would have been big when we were sending songs through Bluetooth at the back of the bus, I was surprised when me and my friends were some of the oldest there. Anyway, he arrives about an hour late and goes through some of his classics. He's clearly very drunk and allegedly shouts some very creepy things to the young crowd. Sort of stuff you'd be placed on a register for. In the club, there's this absolutely manky VIP area, which is no more than some red velvet curtains and some dodgy velvet couches. Yet nothing screams VIP like velvet, does it? You're able to close the curtains behind you going into this room, which is no bigger than a shed. Make of that what you will. After he finished his set, myself and the boys were going for a stroll and said we'd see if Bass Hunter let us into the VIP area. Well, my God, did we allegedly see some shit behind the velvet curtains. His bouncer kicked us out very quickly when we saw Bass Hunter shifting a local girl. Again, allegedly. He was pulling out all the stops. Nothing sinister, but I say Bass Hunter definitely wasn't happy to be cock-blocked by some culchies. There was plenty of champagne flowing, lots of trays of drinks being brought in regularly, and he was being treated like royalty by the club staff. Saw himself and the girl holding hands later on the night. It must have been love. If we ever go back on tour, I'm going to start drinking very heavily. This just isn't right. Like, we're not rock star enough.
Bass Hunter's making a show of us.
Dad, the most exciting thing that ever happened to us after a gig was a fella got bait in Carrick.
That was entertaining.
That's it. Like, we were sitting in the Roadhouse Cafe and some lad came in, split open, and your one was trying to patch him up. And that's about as good as it got. Bass Hunter's inside with velvet curtains and young ones throwing themselves at him.
We were eating chips with Davey Mullins.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, that's
he shouldn't have been eating chips.
He's a professional
jockey.
Yeah, I swear to God, that's as good as it got for us. Now,
Robbie Fowler. Big Kev email. All right, lads, it's me. Big Kev. It's not actually, sorry. I played senior hurling in Antrim for 22 years.
Wow.
And from when I was 16 to 38 years of age. We were a Falls Road team, and as I'm sure you know, after meeting Michael Conlon, you can tell what the Falls Road is like. Our team was like any other. A few clowns in the dressing room, a few comedians, and a few guys with undiagnosed mental health issues. One of the guys who remain nameless, because he's a big fucker, went to Liverpool to study his PGCE in 1999-2000. He got a job whilst there to supplement his income, working as a kitchen porter in a top Liverpool restaurant. And although working for the minimum wage, he loved the job. They used to get a lot of the Liverpool footballers in. And one night, Robbie Fowler came in, sitting at a reserved table with a date. Everyone in the kitchen started talking about Robbie Fowler's in, and the mate of mine, who's a natural sportsman, as skillful with a slither as he is with a football or soccer ball, said to one of the kitchen porters, "I'll show that fucker."
Oh.
He proceeded to lift a fucking
Mandarin
or Satsuma out of a bowl, walked down to where Fowler was sitting, eating dinner by candlelight. He set the orange on the corner of Robbie Fowler's table and stood there with a 1,000-yard stare looking into the distance. Robbie Fowler turns around and says, I hope this is true. Robbie Fowler says, "Can I help you?" To which my mate replied, "Call yourself a sportsman."
Jesus.
My buddy lifted the orange off the table and threw it in the air, and as it came down, started controlling it with the left knee and the right knee, and then left and right foot, playing keepy-uppies with this piece of fruit. As his final piece of skill, he headed the orange, then hit it once more on the shoulder, and with the orange still in midair, locked eyes with Robbie as the orange landed back into his outstretched hand. He then set the orange on the table and said to Robbie Fowler, "Can you do that?" Robbie set down his knife and fork, swallowed what food he had in his mouth, then proceeded to put his hand into his suit pocket, took out his wallet, opened it, took out 4 £50 notes, which was a fortnight's drinks in those days, and held them up in the candle flame, and as they all caught fire, put the blazing £200 onto a side plate, turned to my mate and said, "Can you do that?" The whole fucking restaurant erupted as my mate, who, knowing he was defeated by a wiser and more wealthier opponent, simply smirked and said, "Touché," before returning to the howls of his fellow workers from the kitchen. It wasn't all bad, though, as Robbie came over at the end of the night and handed him a £200 tip, and they had a laugh about it. Moral of the story is, don't try and test the nerve of a guy who was used to playing in front of 50,000 people twice a week. Up tip, but I still can't forgive Nicky English for what he did to us in 1989. Oh. Love and peace, Antrim Abu.
Great. So I'm going to try and believe that. I want to think that maybe Robbie Fowler wouldn't do that with €200. But if you're on 60 grand a week, you know, you could probably burn £200 regularly.
What would Robbie Fowler have been on?
Jeez, depends when that was. Like when he was at Liverpool, he would have been on decent money. He would have been on decent money at Man City, yes, was as well. Yeah, he would have probably been. Probably back in those days, he was probably on 40, 50 grand a week.
Fuck, some twine.
Yeah.
But like, look, he was to pay tax on it then.
Yeah, no, 100%. You lose half that straight away. Poor fucker, like, you know what I mean? Great story, though. I love it. Now, we're going to finish off with some hashtag save our chicken rolls correspondence. Anonymous said in response to the previous correspondence that we've had here on the podcast, "Lads, just listening to this week's pod, my sister and her husband own the Centra on the UCD campus." We were talking about this last week.
Yes.
€2 chicken rolls. They sell so many chicken fillet rolls, they were once brought on an all-expenses-paid trip to the Monaco Grand Prix by Cuisine de France. I shit you not. I used to work there too in 2003. Some crack.
And another anonymous... What?
How much rolls are they selling down there?
That's the whole of UCD, lad.
Jesus Christ.
Another anonymous listener said, in response to the DIY chicken roll from Ardkeen Stores. Yes. So if you go to Ardkeen Stores in Waterford, they would sell you a roll and the chicken.
Yeah.
But they couldn't put it together for you.
Yeah, they wouldn't put it in a roll. Yeah.
Well, this person works in Ardkeen Stores and said, "That chap was definitely overcharged. We don't make up rolls anymore, as it was impossible to enforce social distancing at lunchtimes and vulnerable shoppers were left to queue outside because of the whole deli situation. So after a few weeks of COVID, we stopped making rolls. I don't know whose genius idea it was to do the buttering and mayoing of a roll, but it's idiotic." Oh, don't be throwing shade at your co-workers. Yeah. But thank you for your correspondence.
Yeah, he has said he will talk to the manager about this. So we are trying to solve the problem. It's fair enough, yeah. If people can't behave to queue up in a deli.
We're going
to
stop.
It's funny now, like I walked in the other day to a deli in town. And it was like a load of people there. But they were all socially distancing.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, oh, it's packed. And then I was like, no, it's not. They're all just 2 metres away from each other. I was like, queue's out to the door. Like there's 3 people in the queue. Stacey said, just had to add to the chicken fillet roll campaign. I'm a lifelong celiac, not one of these ones on a fad diet to reach enlightenment through ridding the body of gluten.
Oh.
Which means I had never eaten a chicken fillet roll until 2 weeks ago. I'm 30, Stacey says. Debunked and Clonmel are offering gluten-free chicken fillet rolls and they're the first crowd I've heard doing them. Now bear in mind, we have to pay €6 for the honour of eating a very medium-sized roll with a few pieces of bread and chicken. But Jesus, it was worth it. Hashtag chicken fillet rolls for celiacs. Hashtag gluten free since 93.
Celiacs deserve chicken fillet rolls too.
Yeah. If they are a bit pricier, I can understand. Probably harder to get the rolls.
I don't know the science. I'm just going
to
accept that.
So now the chicken fillet roll campaign moves from €4 for chicken fillet roll to like, except if you're celiac, it's a little bit more expensive. Who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports to sell the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? You can get all that there. And you can get the new Samba soccer jersey, don't forget. With all proceeds going to the Crumlin Children's Hospital, a good cause, so you can get your jersey there and loads of other merch. Who's going to win it?
Yeah, Maura, who'd you like for the mug?
Competition is strong this week, but I do like the text about the brother and sister who went to Tiger Noises, but I think it's the strangest piece of correspondence I think we've ever got.
Yes. But your man who went off with his mate's mother, like, while the father watched this. And I also do have an affinity for any Bass Hunter stuff.
Yeah.
I'd probably make a case for the Robbie Fowler one as well.
I'm not sure if I can believe the Robbie Fowler one.
Okay, okay.
If Robbie Fowler is listening, get in touch.
Yeah, we put in for him when we're in Australia. I'm probably going to side with your man whose mate went off with his parents, his mother or his friend's parents.
Yeah, Mark. But if we send him the mug, he's going to give it to the friend who rode his friend's ma. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if we should be rewarding that kind of behavior.
I don't know. It's funny.
It is funny though. It is funny, okay, though. Fair enough.
Sorry to anyone who missed out. Correspondence was brilliant this week, and thanks for everybody who sends it in.
And just to clarify, Robbie Fowler was managing a team in Brisbane. Yeah. That's why we tried to get him on when we were in Australia.
Yeah. We weren't just drunk right now. About
get in touch.
Top Shagger, you can email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details. Mara, I'll get the mug sent out to you. There's a bit of delay on mugs, obviously due to COVID and the way things are, but we're searching to try and get all the mugs sorted from a previous podcast. They'll be with you as soon as we can. Now, the weekly roundup. Going to let you in on a little inside secret. We may or may not be drinking beer, a good Irish beer that we have somehow managed to secure. A pump. We've got a cooler here at home, so now we can pour our own pints. Johnny's telling me not to tell anyone, but I don't think we're breaking any rules. It's just the two of us recording the podcast, and we're enjoying a nice pint of stout. Maybe we've had a few by now. Who knows? You might notice this podcast just getting a whole lot looser from here on in. But it's been a busy week for us, John.
A couple of more projects we can't tell you about.
Yeah, fucking.
I hate when people say that.
It'll all come good, though, lads. You'll thank us come Christmas.
We have news for you, lads.
Yeah.
That's what's going on this week.
That's exactly what's going on this week. We are offering every single person, right, who pre-orders our new book, Come Here and I Tell You, from Easons. You can get it on easons.com or from thetwojohnnies.ie. Guess what's happening? If you pre-order the book, right, before Thursday the 29th of October, which is the day the book comes out on
the shelves.
Right, so if you pre-order before that date online, you will get tickets to a live stream event that we're doing from here in Two Johnny's HQ. There's going to be a live event and it's going to be class. We're doing up some mad shit. And yeah, it's going to be proper now. It's not just going to be the two of us on the phone. We're doing a proper setup. Mics, the whole lot.
So lights.
Basically, a Two Johnny's house party, if you will.
There'll be a fella shouting, action.
Yeah, we're going to have a floor manager. But that's all you got to do is just pre-order the book. And then closer to the event, which is on 8 p.m. Thursday the 29th of October, you will get sent a unique code. And then you enter that code and you can watch the live show that night at 8 o'clock.
Easy peasy.
It's as simple as that. And to anybody who's already pre-ordered the book, you're in.
You'll get it too.
You'll get it too. So everybody who pre-orders, if
you didn't even want it, you're going to get it.
You're getting it anyway. To the hardcore people that have already bought it, fair play to you. We salute you. And to anyone who's going to buy it, thank you so much. We look forward. We actually got a buzz when we came up with this, because it was like, this is as close as we're going to get to a live show.
Yeah.
So like, we're really
fucking lockdown is back, lad.
Yeah, we're trying to put it all in that. Obviously, what's been going on this week, we went into fucking phase three. That's what's been going on. So things have been tightened up again.
I thought phase three was like an electrical thing.
Yeah, I thought phase three was where you got drunk in like WIT and got like dinners for $2.50 in Foss, but no.
No, when you're doing your apprenticeship, the phases, the odd phases are on site and the even phases are in college.
Okay, so phase four then.
Yeah, phase two or four.
Okay, let's hope for no phase four where we're concerned.
Right.
So you've heard all the news. I hope it made sense because we're after a couple of jars.
Thank you to everyone who has signed up to the Extra Podcast out on Thursdays, and it's really become, it's taken on a life of its own.
Yeah.
And it's become something special.
There's a freedom to it because I still think there's no one listening to it. But obviously there is. So I've definitely said stuff, and then I've got home and there's been this woman standing at the door going, do you know, I paid a €6 a month as well. And then I was like, oh, right. So yeah, I get myself in a whole lot of trouble.
So we were talking about townies versus culchies, and on this week's Extra Podcast, number 29, we had a follow-up correspondence about the Camross bus.
The Camross school bus, lad.
The country bus coming in from Camross.
The bus was known to be wild. From setting farts on fire, to selling loose fags and fireworks, to spitting competitions. It was anything goes on that bus. Before the school became amalgamated, a lot of the Cameroons people went to the tech in Mount Rat. Back ages ago, on one of the Thursday Mart days in Mount Rat, the bus driver supposedly tipped into the Mart and, wait for it, loaded up a calf. He put a calf on the bus before also picking up the lads from the tech. Mayhem. 100% Culchies are a different breed to townies, but the mountain Culchies like Camross people are a different species altogether.
Do you know what? I believe all of that. Earlier this year, we were filming in Hollywood, about to do Ireland's largest ever live podcast in Cork, and the Rona decided to mess with us. But we've adapted, and not necessarily in ways that you might imagine.
I saw people on Twitter going bananas. They now hate the expression Rona.
Okay, that's because of you and your one, Cardi B, lad.
Coronavirus.
The Rona, okay, COVID.
People will give out about Anthony.
There you go.
That's the main thing that's hit me from this now.
Yeah.
There's so many people that are angry out there. Mm. There's a palpable anger. Fellas and ones are just thick. Yeah. Well, they are on
Twitter.
Twitter, anyway. We talked to the guards. The guards are out stopping now again. And I was talking to people. Do you know what? The guards are getting some abuse.
Yeah.
And I feel like saying, that guard who's stopping you, he not making the laws, like.
Mm.
It's like giving out to a waiter but who cooked the food. They didn't cook it, lad.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the main things that have changed for us, John.
No, sorry. The guards were stopping on a motorway.
I'm sure it's frustrating.
Yeah, I've seen people getting frustrated about it. But, yes. I've been like bagged for drink driving on a motorway. So like it was happening before the coronavirus.
Yeah, there does
like,
be stops. I mean?
Yeah, there does be stops. It's something we'll have to get used to.
You mean you were breathalyzed?
Yeah, sorry. I was breathalyzed on the motorway, yeah.
And you passed.
I passed, thankfully, yeah.
Okay, so the biggest changes, Max, you wanted to talk about. Mm. Number one, commuting is gone. And people have more time in their lives.
Yeah. One of the big things that's changed is commuting. And I know, Maura, you'll have strong views on this as well. And a lot of people have been, obviously, it's changed for them. But for us, in the line of work we're in, we were going to Dublin. Mm. Like, willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
Up and down the road for meetings that would maybe last 10 minutes that now have all switched to Zoom. And there's times we're at these meetings and we don't even turn on the microphone. So, like... Whereas yeah. that
sorry to break it to anyone. Jeez, I was only talking to...
They're wicked quiet lads.
I was talking to a neighbour of yours, who's about 14, back when they were doing school on Zoom. And he was like, Asher, some days I just put up a picture of myself and I go with the father. I was like, you're 14.
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't condone that. But that's been handy because a lot of our time was taken driving 2 hours to Dublin.
Today,
having lunch, then you know, and having this meeting that probably takes 3 hours, you know, and then you're driving 2 hours, so it's a full day. But now we get to do more.
We would never have said to somebody, "Let's do this meeting over Skype."
Yeah, it would seem rude, kind of. It's. I will say one thing for like Zoom and Skype, it's a little impersonal.
Yeah, but I also think that's partly because we're from the country. And a big part of us is like getting to meet people, shaking the hands, having the banter. Are you into the guy? Who, you know, where you're from, where are your people from? Chit chat. We want to get to know people to like another level. It's not just a professional relationship.
Yeah. And we have to like people as well, I think. There's definitely times where we've come out of a meeting and been like, this relationship's going to work.
Yeah.
They're nice. Or else it's like, they don't get us at all. And plus, you shake hands with everyone. Obviously, that's stopped since the corona.
I miss it.
But it's so funny, man, because like you've always done that, even before Two Johnny's Rant, as long as I know.
I'm
it's
a
like
big handshaker.
Hand out, shake hands. And like the slickers up in Dublin, like say, who are running a brand or something like that, used to be so taken aback when we'd bop into the office. And then Johnny'd be like, hand out, like, and be like, how are we getting on? And then they're like, Jesus. Because I'd say most people kind of come in and they're there reluctantly, whereas we were like, look, we're here now. We may as well smile and just get on with it. Like, but obviously the commuting has changed. But Zoom and Skype, we're fair lucky that this pandemic wasn't 5-6 years ago when we dial-up broadband.
Imagine 10 years ago.
Oh, you'd be like shouting out your mother saying like, get off the phone. Yeah. So like we're lucky. But the most important thing during this broadband is like we've been, you can talk about like the frontline workers have been fantastic and stuff like that, right? But give an old shout out for lads doing the broadband. Jesus, we'd be fucked without it.
Do you know what? Air have an awful reputation, like on Twitter anyway.
Yeah.
People going bananas, but our local air repairman
may or may not be our centre forward on our hurling team.
And I have his personal number to ring. So to me, their service is exceptional.
Yeah. And one day he even came and put up a TV aerial. And it wasn't even in his remit. Now, it was on his day off. He wasn't on company time air, all right?
Come on.
Other broadband app providers are available.
Just be happy with the shout out, right? Okay, the main thing that myself and Max have found, Maura, I don't know about you, is we have that bit more time and we've started coaching in our local GA club. Max may have mentioned he's with the minors.
Still am.
Oh, yeah? So now all your games are off.
Yeah, so all the games are off and it's just hard to, like, you're training now and you can train in pods but you can't have contact. Like, you try and tell one of the men who is on the coaching ticket with me, you try and tell him you can't do contact. Like, he doesn't care if Martians are going to come down over UFO. Like, he's like, what do you mean no contact? And I'm like, listen, there are the guidelines. We just to keep them in pods and not do contact.
He said, what about junior B training? It's all about contact. If you take the contact out of junior hurling, there's nothing left.
They may as well just start doing yoga, I'd say, or something like that. But no, on a serious note, coaching and doing stuff like that in our GA club was stuff that we never
had time to do.
Never would have had time to do and never... I always would have liked to coach. So, like, I was always like, Jesus, I reckon I'd be a good coach. You know, obviously because I'm fucking deluded and I think I'm going to be classed at everything.
You reckon you know more than everyone, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've told my managers over the years.
But sure, we could never commit to it because we weren't around.
Yeah, even playing, like, it was like, now we got knocked out very early, but, like, it was grand to be able to play and then no one was saying, are you around Thursday, are you around Friday? They just knew we were around. Whereas previous, it was like we'd miss games or whatever. So that's been the plus, but coaching itself is just like, I always had respect for coaches and like anybody who volunteers. So volunteers, whether that's soccer or GA or any organisation like that, anyone who volunteers, scouts, anything like that, massive respect.
Oh, no, I don't talk to the scouts.
Yeah, what? Why?
They wouldn't let me in.
They wouldn't let you in the scouts?
No.
Why, ponytail?
No, I had the scouts.
They heard you water down your soul.
It's like... It's like, this is like when I was 8, the Beavers.
Right, why wouldn't they let you in?
Don't know, apparently I was a bit of a handful.
Wow, I didn't know the scouts discriminate.
Well, not normally they don't, but they made an exception
for me. Are you the only person in history who wasn't accepted into the scouts? Like, it's not like it's the SAS that you have to pass. That you have to pass a load of exams.
Well,
he wasn't capable. I mean, we asked him to tie a knot and Jesus, like, you know, it was too easy to get out with a knot. He'll never tie anyone up.
Yeah, he fell off the hang tough. No, just that.
You weren't allowed in the scouts?
No, couldn't get
in. I think that's a topic in itself, Johnny B not being allowed in. But as I was saying, the respect I have for volunteers, because I didn't realise how much pressure, not so much pressure, like, listen, doing a show to a lot of people when you don't know what you're at, that's pressure at the start when we started. But I mean, big game. So like, say for example, we got to a final in the minor and it's like, break it down. Okay, group of 18-year-olds and you're coaching them, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Might not seem that big a deal. Load of owl lads at the back of the stand, shouting and roaring at you, and then the opposite team manager shouting and roaring at you.
Yeah.
That's the pressure. And I was like, Jesus, give me Vicar Street or the National Stadium or the Marquee any day of the week over this.
Being on the sideline is tough. It's easier to be a player when you can affect things. There's only so much you can do on the sideline, lad. And for you...
My heart rate, lad, was higher than Davy Fitz's.
But for you who's still at the age of playing, you're looking out going, just give me the ball. I'll do it.
Listen, if I could, I would have subbed myself on the minors. There was times I was thinking, I wonder if it just shaved. You know what I mean? And maybe just didn't speak.
No, Maura, Max is at minor football training. And then when they're playing backs and forwards, he gets frustrated and is like, just put me in and I'll effing show you. And then he goes out like, bangs in two screamers, then does his hamstring straight away.
Yeah, but in fairness, I am privileged in that, like, I can still play and do still play. In that, like, you know, I put it this way. We've had coaches in the past who have never played. And when they tell you to do something, you're like, fuck off, you never played. You know what I mean? Or you were shite, like. And I'm not taking advice from you. Well, okay. That's how I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, others don't. But to be able to be like, listen, you should have done that. And then they're kind of like, ah, yeah. And then you like you whop on over with your left foot for 40 yards. They listen to you that little bit better. But yeah. I'm quite serious anyway. Like I'm always laughing and joking in every aspect of my life. And even when I'm a player, I'd be down training. Like I'd be the one messing like and having the crack. And then when I'm coaching, if someone else steps out of line, I want to just immediately murder them. Anyway, but they'll probably be listening to this podcast now and we'll hear the crack. But it was brilliant. And I swear, it was a terrible summer in regards like pandemic and for businesses and pub owners. And we know how bleak the pandemic was. But I enjoyed the summer, I'd say, more than any summer, really. Like to be able to do what I was able to do with my time during the summer and have a bit of time off. Like other than that, we'd have had, 15 gigs over the summer, like between festivals and everything.
Oh, more.
We'd have been abroad. We'd have been... Like, it was nice to be home and in the middle of the GA. It was like we weren't in the Two Johnnies around town for the summer. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
But, like, obviously, I want to get back on the road immediately. I've had enough of GA now. I'm up to me tits. You were coaching too. Now, you went... When you came and told me what you were doing, I was like... So I came home one evening. Johnny was like, I'm going training the under-10s tonight. I was like, you're fucking crazy. Like, what are you training? You're wasting your time training them. At least teach someone like who's of age. Like, I was like, they'll be down making daisy chains.
It's great crack.
Yeah.
But they need all, they're the age groups who need all the help they can get. Anyone who coaches kids will know. You just could not have enough coaches. So if we have a training, say, 25 lads, you're doing drills. Say there's like four guys behind the cone and it's out, pick up the ball, run around, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're working on one guy who's not bad, but he's got a bad habit. You know, maybe his left hand isn't down the hurley far enough and you're trying to get him to or turn the boss the other way. You know, some of the fundamentals. Yeah. It just needs bad habits, right? And you're working on him. So every time he comes on, you remind him and you're encouraging him. And then, right, who's up next? And there's a lad taking a piss. You know? Someone is climbing the fence of the all-weather pitch. There's a lad sitting in the corner, single, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Like, these are all true things that have happened to me in the middle of a drill.
The best was your man climbing the fence. I thought that was the best.
I really enjoyed it because I wouldn't be an expert in football, but like it's nice to coach kids the fundamentals and they can actually learn it.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, at what age do lads stop crying? Because I have a couple of criers.
Is it an issue? No, and to be honest, lad, you're not...
One of the most empathetic.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word I was going to use.
Knocking around the town, but they're good. I so when I was young, I was very dyslexic and went to like some sort of specialist, and she taught me all these things about like making eye contact with people and all. So now a lot of people said to me when making the TV show, when we're interviewing people, that I make like intense eye contact because that's learned.
Especially if they're blonde and an Instagram.
So that's learned behavior. So now like I go around to the kids and I try and have a real effect on them all. But
I think we like to think that we're doing our bit because like down the GA club, we kind of feel, not to make this whole segment about GA, but like we kind of feel like we could make an old difference, like, you know. And I think that's what you want to do.
Actually, I don't know. I'm trying to recruit a few more lads. If some young lads going into school saying, hey, my coach is one of the Two Johnnies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, at the moment, we're actually trying to poach an underage player from an underage. We probably shouldn't say that.
So, Maura, how's the... What has been the highlights and lowlights of lockdown for you, Maura? The big changes?
So, the summer was rough because the guy I'm seeing, he was abroad from the summer. So, like, I couldn't go out with friends. Basically, Saturday nights was me, the two dogs, and a bottle of wine, and you know, Twilight or some other rom com, and just me being sad and like sending like pukey WhatsApp message, I miss you. But then the highlights are that like I've saved so much money on diesel, like you know, it's like, and I did have this thing recently.
And now you don't even have to come down to us, Maura.
Yeah. I know. I miss seeing yous, definitely. But thank God for good broadband. But like, I've saved so much money in diesel that like, I've been able to really kind of like save up towards like the house and stuff like that. But I did have this moment where I was like, do you know what? I need some long-term good quality clothes. So I had like this pretty woman moment where, you know, where she goes like shopping in the big, like, yeah, expensive bar, like everybody's bringing her outfits. So I booked a personal shopping session in Ireland.
Fuck off. Oh,
yeah.
We're not making enough money for that, though. Fuck.
Has it happened yet?
I tried to point the Guinness there.
Oh, it was like the best hour of my life. It was like, not like this, like this. I was like, this is the yes pile, this is the no pile. Like, I'd sent them, I'd gone through the whole of the Arnott's website and I like picked out like 20 things that I liked. And I was like, okay. And they had them waiting on a rail for me. And like, it's free. You don't pay for personal shopping. You just buy the clothes. Like, they don't charge you a commission or anything like that. Oh. But it was like,
Where is this?
Arnott's in Dublin.
Do they do it for men?
I presume so, yeah. I'm sure they do.
How
do
I book a personal shopper, Maura?
You just email them. It's like personal shopper at arnott's.ie. I'm not there. This is an ad for them or whatever, but it was actually.
What, do lots of.
If they hear this, we'll do an ad.
Do lots of companies do that?
Some of the big stores, Brown Thomas, do it as well. But it's actually like, because I realized. One thing that like came about over lockdown is that like I tidied out everything. Like, I've done like the house completely cleaned out. I went even cleaned out my dad's office and I found this shoebox of stuff. And like, it was just crap that daddy had like shoved in there. And I was like, I found the pub licenses, all the pub licenses in the family from like 1910 on. From like, they're like the range from like 1910 to 1956. And it's so funny. You can see like the English emblem at the top of the pub license. And then you get to 1921 and suddenly it's Sarah Stott and a hair. And like, it's pure history in the family. And like, leases from the landlord and stuff like that. Amazing, like documents that like are 120 years old. Like, so that was really cool. But I also cleaned out my wardrobe and like everything that I threw out was fast fashion. So I'm like, do you know what? I'll just buy the more expensive stuff.
Quality.
And yeah, and that lasts me and I'll wear repetitively, you know? So
like, I think we all know the downsides of the pandemic and stuff like that, like, you know, people losing their jobs, the pubs, we know all that. I think on this podcast, we've always went for like, you can forget about that for a week, so we'll probably just talk about positives now.
Yeah, we're trying not to bum you out, lads.
Yeah. One of the positives that I've seen is funerals. How do I get a positive? How do I get a positive in funerals?
Yeah.
I hear you ask. Do you know funerals were kind of like, for me anyway, I don't like seeing dead people, right, because I have a fear of death, which I'm sure at some point we will get into. Funerals. Now you don't have to go to the church and sit there for an hour. You can do, like, you can line the streets. And we had a funeral the other day. And we went and we done a guard of honour and we lined the street. And I just thought, like, this is the way to do it. Like, line the streets, you know, obviously socially distant. And people were all kind of just kind of waiting for when the hearse passed. And I think that... I trust me now, if I pass, I'd rather that than an actual big funeral where everyone sits down for an hour.
But being a member of a GA club, you get a guard of honour anyway.
Yeah.
But for people who aren't members of a club like that, the guard of honour is a really nice thing to do.
Yeah, but I've talked to some of our friends who've lost people during COVID and stuff like that, and they said that like the likes of their neighbour standing out at the gate when they were passing and stuff like that. It almost means more than like a quick handshake that, you know, listen, we've all been there. We've called in funerals over the time. We've been like, right, I'll go in now, shake the hand out, we go out. I just make sure that they've seen me. Yeah. Whereas I think there's something nice about actually coming outside your house and giving a guard of honour. I think that's something that should be just done for funerals now.
Probably wouldn't work in the city, but...
Yeah, obviously, yeah, rural Ireland. Yeah,
you know, in small towns.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. Also, we're members of our GA club's committee. And since COVID, because the meetings have had to be held outside, the committee meetings have just went. They've been halved in length. They've just been halved. And it's like, no more shy talk, reading out stuff no one cares about. Get to the nitty gritty. Let's have a scrap. Let's all get in our car and go home. Committee meetings have... And now, because we're in phase three now, they're thinking that they might have to do the committee meetings on Zoom. And I swear to God... We can't win.
So, Maura, the two of us in Sparrow are considerably the youngest three on the committee.
By a shot.
I know there's a couple from the juvenile club, and then the senior gents are elderly gents, and the Zoom meetings is just going to write itself.
Please screen record it, like, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
100%. Another positive, I think, from lockdown has been we've got to see, strangely enough, because like we've been in lockdown and we've been in the pandemic, but strangely enough, our friendships with other people, like obviously me and Johnny's friendship's always been strong, but our friendships with our actual group of friends has gotten even better.
But the circle has gotten smaller.
The circle has gotten smaller, so you've weeded out.
When we came back, see,
I don't want to see you weeded out the dirt. Sorry, Daniel.
What lockdown? We're talking around Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we came back on the 13th.
Yeah, so we're saying around Patrick's Day onwards, we've seen like the same 10 people the whole time. That's our circle. That's our bubble.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we didn't see them like before he started emailing in. We didn't see him when we were in a complete lockdown. But
yeah,
it was Zooms. It was FaceTimes. It was chatting. I think everybody realized we all kind of need each other to get through this pandemic.
Mm.
So people were reaching out, touching base with people. Like, even the Chalk Ice, we were so busy in the last 3 years that, like, I reckon I've seen more of him in the last 6 weeks than I have in the previous 3 years. Because, like, we've been around local and it's good. You realize when you're going through a pandemic and you're sitting at home, you're like, Jesus, I'd love someone to chat to now. Mm. And I think that's the important thing. And especially in Ireland, we've been great at doing that. I think everyone reaching out, keeping in touch with each other. Mm. That makes all the difference. And if we do go level 5 again, we'll have made all the contacts and you know, grown our friendships. So we'll get through it. Like, you have to get through these things together. Otherwise, you go mad if you're on your own.
Can I give you a couple? I have found 5 interesting responses to coronavirus around the world.
Okay, go on. Wow. Okay. You've dug.
I got one for you. Panama. Right? They are doing a strict quarantine, but they're separating people by gender.
Oh, Jesus. If they put all the men in one spot in Ireland, we'd just be pissed.
So it's going to be, there's days of the week, men's day, women's day, then there's times a day where all the men are out at like 1 o'clock, and then 6 o'clock in the evening, all the women are. They're dividing people by gender.
Panama.
Yeah. Colombia are dividing people by your, whatever, like your social security number. So your ID, if it ends with the letter 7, you go on a Monday. If it ends with the letter 6, you go on a Tuesday. Bolivia doing the same thing.
Jeez, and we thought our government were bad.
Yeah. Serbia. So at one point, Serbia introduced at from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night was dog walking hour. Everybody was allowed to go out for 1 hour and walk their dogs.
And then after that, someone went out for an hour and cleaned up all his shit.
They've gotten rid of that. Do you know who's actually a bit of a character? Is the president of Belarus.
Oh, God, what's he done?
Alexander Lukashenko. He was talking to a TV reporter, I saw, and he went to an ice hockey match and the stadium is full. And they're like, "Cheers, what's the crack here?" And he's quoted as saying, "It's so cold here, the virus can't survive." He said, "This is a fridge. It's the best cure." And he recommends that people drink lots of vodka and take regular trips to the sauna to ward off coronavirus. Now, I don't have any scientific evidence to back him up, but I just thought it was an interesting response. And one more is from Malaysia. Maura is going to love this one. So the government of Malaysia, did you know they have, you know, Ireland, we have the Minister for Agriculture, mm-hmm. the Minister for Transport. Well, in Malaysia, they have the Women's Ministry.
Yep.
And the Women's Ministry have had to apologise and retract their advice after they advised women to dress up, wear makeup and avoid nagging their husbands during lockdown. So social media in Malaysia didn't quite embrace this and they've had to retract it.
And it turns out that the leader of the women's ministry is actually a man from Camaros.
Different countries taking different responses.
That's unbelievable. But listen, we'll all try and do our bit. That's the main thing. And if you're feeling down, you know what I mean? There's better days ahead. Reach out to your friends. Have an old chat. Have the bit of crack. We're the Irish. We'll all get through it together. And if we can't, listen, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So we just have to have a bit of crack and get through this.
Don't end up like Panama.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
His favourite gift from Santa was a pack of fags that he got at the age of 3. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Hi, young fella.
Well, Noel, did you actually get a pack of fags from Santa?
I remember like it was yesterday. I have an uncanny ability to recall memories from my youth.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a pack of John Player Blue 15.
15, wasn't
it? You could get 15 boxes of fags in them days.
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I still have one, my lucky fag.
When will you smoke that?
Waiting for the right moment to strike up a light and let it go.
I thought once that you told us you'd given up the fags.
I do. I smoke in mass. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
And on planes.
Okay, yeah. So two places you shouldn't smoke. That's right.
I like a fag when I fly.
Okay.
So, but I'll tell you, I'm not happy.
Why?
I am not happy with the whole thing.
Shit.
COVID. Safest bet now, anyone who gets COVID, we just shoot them.
COVID, you can't do that.
COVID is causing too many deaths. My solution.
It's shocking.
Shocking. Look, I was talking to my poutine man. I have a poutine man.
Again, illegal.
And he reckons he is immune. His body is 94% alcohol. Well, I think that's what he said. He was fucking locked. No, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I said it to the politicians on the doorstep. I gave him a piece of my mind and they said, Noel, how do you know where we live? Also, there's no election for a couple of years. I said, I don't give a sugar. I don't wait for them to call to my doorstep. I call to their doorstep. So where's your pamphlet now? Where's your, sorry we missed you? Yeah. You fucking are, yeah. Huh? I told him. I said to one of them, if the coronavirus isn't gone by next Saturday, if it's not gone by next Saturday, I'm coming back. And did you ever see the 2009 final where Benny Dunne gets a straight red for what he did to Tommy Walsh? Yeah. I'm going to reenact that in your shagging kitchen.
I'm coming back next Saturday.
Now, we're supposed to have a confirmation and I probably wouldn't get back to him at all. But, bit of motivation.
Bit of motivation
goes a long way. Okay, no harm. Move it along.
Move it along. Get done with this thing.
No, yeah, wrap it up. I said to him on the doorstep, wrap it up, guys. Better news. Scandal. News. Cattle have been seen in the Middle East. Now, we've all had a few cows break out. They might run up to Boreen. They might make it as far as the main road. But these ones have made it all the way to Libya.
Wow.
Okay? I saw a cow drive a woman onto her arse. But I've never seen a cow drive a boat to Libya. Somebody is driving the boat. But speaking of women, I was talking to Mickey Scoop. Do you know Mickey Scoop?
No.
Do you know Mickey Scoop? No. Well, if you meet him, don't call him Mickey Scoop.
Why?
Well, he hates being called Mickey Scoop. Do you know where he got his nickname? We were inside in the Shamrock one day and Margaret was handing out the mashed spuds and he said, one scoop will do. Well, Margaret nearly fucked a pot of spuds out the window. Any self-respecting man is eating two scoops of mash.
Oh, yeah.
She thought he was slighting her spuds. Well, let me tell you something. About women. Okay? Take a seat now. Okay. You can insult her appearance. You can insult her children. But never, never insult a woman's spuds. It turns out he had AIDS. And
what?
He wasn't hungry.
What?
No, not AIDS. He had a panini. I can't keep up with all these trends.
Jesus Christ.
Before, so he wasn't hungry. He had a panini. And, would you try to tell that to Margaret? Try to tell Margaret, oh, I'm not hungry, I had a panini. She would choke you. One hand on the spoon, other hand round your fucking throat.
And do the Shamrock Lounge do paninis?
No, he got them one day in the petrol station.
She wouldn't like that.
Oh, you mad? Anyway, talking to Mickey Scoop. And now, I hate to say it, but Mickey Scoop and the wife are going through a bit of a rough patch.
Okay.
Last weekend, Mickey Scoop got in a cleaner.
Oh.
Got in it. Into their own house.
Wow. That's almost groundbreaking.
She scrubbed the kitchen. She scrubbed the bathroom. She hoovered. She set the fire.
Set the fire.
She bleached the curtains.
Oh my God.
She washed the light bulbs. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I'll tell you, when Angela came home, there was nothing to do. You weren't even done the washing.
Go away.
Now, Paddy Legs. Paddy Legs.
Why is he called Paddy Legs?
Well, he was out walking. He said he seen into the sitting room, and there was the wife, Angela, on the couch with the feet up, tea in hand, and not a thing to do. Oh. I'll tell you, Mickey Scoop is a bad bastard for doing that to her. Now, I know they're fighting. That's too far.
Yeah.
They won't recover from that.
Do you not think maybe?
No. Like, and don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone I told you.
Yeah, I won't.
Because I think Cameron is having nightmares. Nothing to do in her own house.
That's sin.
Now, these cows, right? They have tags on them. These cows, UK tags, right? And Animals International said these cattle are from Northern Ireland.
Yeah, Northern Ireland.
Yes, and have been shipped to Spain, then on to Libya, and they're alive. But this is against UK rules. So they said the Middle Eastern slaughterhouses will be cash. They wouldn't have the stun gun.
Okay.
So they're trying to get legislation in to stop live exports out of the UK onto third countries. It's controversial. Mm. Farmers will sell cows to anyone. But you know what the problem is? See, the real problem is that they're sending cows across the world. But if I want to kill a cow here now, a wicked rigmarole. If I want to kill a beast. If I want to kill a beast. There's awful rigmarole. Now I does it. Now he does it. Found collect a pig in Destra. And we have a little laboratory. So Found walks the pig in to the shed. The pig didn't know where it's going, obviously. And then ahead of all the grandkids wearing party hats, and they all shout surprise. And the pig is totally stunned.
Jesus Christ.
Then bang. The pig goes to sleep. No pain. No pain. And it gets a nice send off.
Are the party hats essential?
Well, you have to make it believable. Jeez. You know, didn't everyone get to attend their own wake? Okay? But speaking of Paddy Fong, I met him at the funeral during the week.
Oh, Fong?
Yeah, and we're still trying to get him a wife.
Okay.
And one the boy said to me, he should go on Escort Ireland. Right? And I said, look, I'm trying to set this man up with a nice woman. I don't need a website full of lads standing around looking for escorts. I said, Escort Ireland. What would Paddy Fong want with Escort Ireland? Sure, he'll never sell the Astra. Oh, he's a disgrace of man. He came into the funeral wearing a t-shirt saying, kiss me, I'm dyslexic. What am I doing? Now, local news. That's my first time drinking with my right hand in 11 years. In local news, John Paul is tipping a one.
Fact. Oh my.
Fact. Now, they're not boyfriend and girlfriend. going around holding hands like it's fucking Greece. But they are getting on like a horse on fire.
A horse on fire?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a house on fire.
Why would you want a house on fire? Well, who wants their own house on fire? You want to send yourself a get well card, you would.
Now, a horse on fire.
He's not quite ready to be seen with her in the pub, but he is texting her afterwards asking if she wants to call back the road. So this is a positive development for my own son. It's going on a couple of weeks now, and I hadn't met her. So Sunday morning after mass, I walked into the room and he was up on top of her. He was going 90. I said, good man. She popped out the head, right? And I said, no, don't let me interrupt you. Whatever way I looked at her, what in the jungle de la Hunty? I know her from ladies football. Yeah. And he was up, he would go 90. I said, well, Della, how are you getting on? I just met your father at mass. JP was going hammer and tongs at this stage. I sat down in the bedside locker beside him anyway. Well, you'd want to get to know someone after staying in your house. I said, Cameron, come in. Would you look who would it know? See, Cameron would know all the hunties. A well-to-do family.
Yeah, yeah,
JP could do worse. Cameron made her tea anyway. And milk in the jug.
Yeah. Fancy.
Trying to impress the little hunties. I said, will you stop? You'll embarrass her. So I said, what are you working at? And she said, dental nurse. Or it could have been a rental hearse. I couldn't quite make it out. I said to my own young lad, I said, hey, I don't see the old tarpaulin, the old packet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's not buying a fucking car.
I said, if I put my hand down those sheets, I better touch plastic. No babies.
Oh, no.
No babies until you're at least in the going to the pub together stage. Jeez. Now, he promised me he'd pull out, but that fella, he wouldn't pull out the driveway.
Jesus
Christ.
But she could be on the tablets too.
What do you mean by that?
You know, women, they take their tablets, for the no baby tablets.
The pill. The pill.
Whatever, tablets. Tomato. But still, I still think you'd want to be wearing the smocks. Anyway, so the old waterproof cap. You know, you want the old cap on. Going in. I rang her father then.
Did you?
Yeah. I had him on the old FaceTime. I said, look out here. Look out here. I said, little hunty, look. I said, I'm like David Attenborough. I'm in the wild. I was commentating then. Now I was like, ah, John Paul, leave it in her, you know. Her father was sour enough.
Was he?
He's shit crack at the best of times. But I left him at it anyway. But yes, there was ructions at mass. There was ructions at mass. Mara, wait a minute.
Why?
The nuns aren't talking to Father Joy. The nuns want it in the mouth. And he won't do it no more. He said he can't do it because of the COVID. He said he'll do it in the hand, but he won't do it in the mouth. Now, they said Father Nocton always did it in the mouth. He loved doing it in the mouth. And he'd be, it'd be a fair amount of him to do. He'd do it.
Oh, we're never going to get another sponsor.
And they'd have the tongue out. They meant for it. Leave it into me. But apparently with the COVID, they have to get communion in the hand. And I tell you one thing. It takes a strong man to turn down an nun who wants it. They wrote a letter to the bishop. Surely the bishop will give it to us in the mouth.
Oh, God.
He wouldn't budge. Would not budge. Sign the times. There used to be priests coming from all over to give it to him in the mouth. And I said, Father Joy, you may give it to her. Because, look, if she doesn't get it here, she'll get it somewhere else. Like a horse on fire.
Like a horse on fire.
As the old saying goes.
Oh, God almighty. I'd just like to apologize to any prospective sponsors.
Huh?
We've lost a fortune. Now you have to get that back in.
Well, it's like Fleetwood Mac used to say about the under 12 team.
What?
Players only love you when they're playing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Noel Furlong. Sometimes she worries that her butt is too big, but then she remembers no one wrote a song about a flat one. Maura, what is your mystery topic? Whap.
Whap. Whap. Whap.
Lads, I have three little words for ye. I love ye. Okay?
Oh.
So, but I'm wondering, like,
how many glasses of wine have you had?
But it's very easy for females to say to their female friends and their male friends, just say, I love you. I really appreciate our friendship and all that. But for male friendships, it doesn't seem to be the done thing. So I'm wondering, have you ever said, I love you to one of your male friends? How many men have you said it to? What was it that prompted you to say it to them? Was there sports or alcohol involved? How long have you been saying it to them? Did it ever make things weird? And do you think it's important to tell your male friends that you love them? Like, have you ever told each other that you love each other?
Oh, I love Smacks.
Yeah, I'd say we probably have. Now, we might have had 4 days on the beer.
Before we have to work up to it, Maura.
And no, there's times like when we've had mad weeks where mad things have happened to us. Or we've done like a big show or something and we'll often be out the next morning and then we'll just be like, I fucking love you. We'll be having the breakfast, drinking a pint, just going, fucking love you. Aren't we fucking some, isn't it some crack what we're at? And I think that's for us. Like, it's blatantly obvious we love each other. But
and ourselves. Maura, you asked a bunch of questions there. Do you want to ask them one at a time and we'll give you a quick fire?
Okay. So you've obviously said you love each other to your each other, but have you said I love you to other friends outside of the two Johnnies?
I have, yeah.
Not sober.
I probably have, yeah. I've definitely said it to the Chalkies. Like, I've definitely been like, I fucking love you. Like.
Yeah,
but like, there's times where he'd make you laugh and we'd be in stitches, like.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to breathe and he'd be like, I love you, like. You know, that's yours. He's that funny, like.
I know, but at times I think you're going to leave Annie for him.
Listen, there's times Annie thinks I'm going to leave Annie for him.
Animal noises.
When men are drunk, that's when men find love. Whether that's with a woman or a fella or anyone, when a fella has a few pints in him, he'll tell anyone their true. They say, what is it? Sober, drunk words or sober thoughts. And there's a certain element to that.
Yeah.
Especially between men.
A few pints can kind of amplify things a bit.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely men who've turned to each other after the final whistle in All Ireland and been like, I love you. And then like, don't speak to each other ever again.
I'm sure I've told Owen Kelly I love him all right now, but I stand over that.
No, but like, I do love me friends. Like,
yeah.
I do,
yeah.
Like, I actually do, like, yeah. I'd be heartbroken.
But would you have ever been, when you were younger, would you have been hesitant about saying it to a lad, oh, I love you?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah, you get to that stage, like,
even... I wouldn't have said it before 18, I'd say.
No, I wouldn't have either. And even, like, in your early 20s, you're kind of still trying to be cool. You're still worried about what everyone thinks about you. And then there comes a point where you just are like, I don't care, like, I do love you.
Yeah, but you're not quite sure what love is, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes some people are just really good crack. I love having you around, you gas bastard.
There's a fellow who said once, there's a difference between a friend and someone you just go drinking with.
Mm.
And I think that's fair enough. And especially with men, it's like, ah, yeah, we're buddies or we're friends. And it's like, but you only ever see them when you're down the pub. You know what I mean? Whereas, and that is the thing with men. It's like, ah, yeah, we're friends. Mm. But like, anytime you see him, he's 6 points in. Whereas like, I think actual friends call at your house and you have a proper relationship outside of alcohol. So I do. Yeah, I've definitely said I love you. Yeah.
Okay, Maura, next question.
Well, what was it that prompted you to tell somebody that you love them? Was it like, was it a sport and alcohol occasion? Would you ever just say it sober? Would you ever turn around? Like, I'm sure you've said it to a girlfriend you know, out of the blue. But like a male friendship, it doesn't just seem to flow off the tongue as easily, even though you probably have really deep feelings for that person.
No, 100%. I don't know how I said it sober enough, genuinely.
But you don't have to be, you wouldn't just say it out of the blue. I think it'd have to come up, like, if a friend of yours was going through a tough time or something, you'd be like, ah, look, you're great. We love you, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, like, I've definitely built my friends up, as in, like, when I know, like, when they're feeling down, I'll tell them what I think, like, I'll tell them that they are great. Because my friends are great, like, you know? All in their own little way. But like, yeah, if they're having a hard time, you definitely pick them up. But like, as regards saying it to like the other halves, I constantly need people to tell me they love me. So I last around 40 times a day, like, just been like, do you though? So, yeah.
You're not just having me on now.
You're not just lying, like. So I constantly need reassurance.
Maura, would female friends tell each other, like, how often do females say to their friends, I love you?
Definitely over the last wee while, I've had friends who've, because of, like we mentioned, our Rona is affecting people's lives. So I have friends who've lost jobs, I have friends who've had to move out of Dublin. Yeah. And I've actually saved some of the text messages and just been like texting friends saying, I miss you, I love you so much, I really value your friendship. And like, I saved those messages, I screenshotted them and I have them in a little folder. So whenever I'm feeling a bit like, I go in and look at that and I'm just like, I'm so blessed to have all that. But then I was kind of thinking this week, do men have that? Because my last question to you was like, I think personally, I think it's really important to tell someone you love them. Because like, I was just thinking there that I remembered the first thing I said to the girl that I was fighting in my MMA fight after I beat her was like, oh, I love you. I really do love you. Like, even though I'm just after like punching you in the face for about a minute.
She's like, well, I fucking hate you.
But still, it was about showing respect and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I just think I think men should be a little bit freer in saying I love you, because, you know, friendship is what's going to get you through tough times. And
I agree. I think men can take a lot from women in that regard. Like,
Maura,
I think
men can't even say what they like. It's easy. Look at the internet. It's just people saying what they hate.
But I look at girls texting each other, like, and it's like,
oh, it's kisses.
Hey babe. Hey babe.
XX.
Yeah. Hey babe. What are you up to tonight? Love you. XX. And it's like, fellas into that, you're like, I always knew. And now I'm putting it all together in my head. And you know, that time that you said you liked Westlife, you know, whereas like, it's not the case. Whereas like, I'd rather, now you leave me messages the other time. And Johnny does this thing that really annoys me sometimes. What? If I say something nice to him,
yeah,
or it'll be like, say we got number one or something, and I'll send him on a screenshot if we're not together, which we've mostly been together for like big
okay,
moments.
Go
like
on.
That. I'd send him something, be like, fucking hell, we done it, like, whatever. And he'll just reply with a single X.
Blowing you a kiss,
no,
man.
No. But no such thing as, like, yeah, we're some men, X.
Blowing you a kiss.
Just an X. Listen, there's only one man in the world who gets away with that, and that's Liam Gallagher.
Come on, you know.
LGX. And that's all Johnny will reply to me with an X. And there's been times where I've been like, you lazy bastard.
Right, no, I won't blow you kisses.
No, I do. I want more. Maybe give me like a love heart emoji and a kiss. I'll probably settle for that.
Okay. What about family?
Oh, I tell my mother, like people laugh at me. I don't care where I am. If I'm in the car with the lads, and my mother rings me or whatever, I always say to my mother on the phone, I love you. Yeah. Or I'd say to my sister, I love you.
Yeah, but it's just, it's easier with mothers. It's harder with fathers, like that. You don't mean
now. Yeah, now that I think about it, like.
Yeah, I think if you told your father that you love them, they'd be like, how much money do you want? Or, you know, did you get a girl pregnant? Yeah. What if you tell me?
I've definitely told my dad I love him. But now I would be like, langers. And like, I'd be like, I love you. You know what I mean?
Why is that? Why is
men only show, it's, listen, that's going back donkey's years. Men show emotion.
But we can change it for the next generation.
Mm. Yeah, particularly the Irish father thing. I think that's a bit of a thing. It's kind of like, well, you see, the men from that generation are I think are a lot harder than we are.
Strong,
like,
silent.
Yeah, strong, silent. If there's anything wrong with you, like, sure, don't tell anyone. You don't want to show any weakness by telling anyone that there's anything wrong with you. Whereas, like, our generation, like, for me, you know yourself, like, if I'm in a bad mood, I'm going to come in here and everyone down the road for the next 4 miles are going to know I'm in a bad mood.
Mar, he'd take out an ad in the Nationalist, the newspaper. The Nina Gargin would have a 4-page spread. Yeah. Johnny's Max in bad mood.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think we should change that. Like, I know, like, then you do nice things. You might get, like, you know, I know me dad texted me when we done a TV show and was like, we're all dead proud of you. Like, well done, love you.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus, it's a rare occasion, I think. But that's just men. And I think we should change it. We should become a bit more, I won't say fluffier.
No,
but a bit more open. A
little bit jealous of women. And that it's, women for some reason just have the knack of saying that real nice stuff.
Yeah.
You see, when you meet lads then, it's like, well, weather's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking Leeds are going well, you know?
But we have some friends that are very open. Like, I've had conversations with some friends who I would count as close friends that I mightn't have seen for a while, but I could have a conversation with them that's very open and very heartfelt. And I think that's a little bit from older men who are a bit more mature. But, like, whereas younger lads are like, ah, what's crack? You know what I mean?
But there's a thing in Ireland when you meet people and we all say, well, how are you?
Grand.
But sometimes people ask that and they don't really want to know how you are. If you turn around to them and say,
jeez, I lost my job.
Fuck it, I'm not great now. Would they stand up and say, Jesus, well, what's the crack like? Do you want to get a cup of tea and have a chat about it?
Yeah.
Or would they be like, anyway, good to meet you.
Yeah. No, just to finish off the topic, Mara, I think we always try and have a chat with our friends, like an actual chat, as in, like,
If you're good enough friends with people, there should be not enough limits.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I agree. I actually really enjoyed that topic.
And you should be able, if you're going as far as love, you should be able to challenge each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have to disagree with each other. Yeah.
You could say to somebody, why did you do that, lad? Come on now, you're better than that. Or, you know?
Sounds familiar.
do you know what I mean?
100%. I enjoyed that, Mara.
I love everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
Cake.
That's the stout talking. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to spread the good word. And you can reach us on Instagram at @TheTwoJohnnies, Facebook at @TheTwoJohnnies, and you can email podcast at @TheTwoJohnnies with any future suggestions for topics or anything that you want to know. Now we're going to finish the show with our yurt
and dirt
of the week. That is our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B is trawling through his notes on his phone.
My yurt of the week is that David Attenborough has joined Instagram.
Mm.
And I love his voice. Oh my God. If he was to sentence me to death,
I'd be like, grand.
Yeah. Just the best voice ever. But I watched his movie that's on the internet now, A Life on This Planet. Look, I think we could all take a little bit better care of the world. Do you know what's the easiest one? The one I always do. When we're going out and about, I bring my own cup with me for coffee.
Yeah. You're good at that now.
Yeah, but John, it's not an effort at all.
Yeah, I know.
It's no effort. There's millions and millions of coffee cups that are made and shipped and thrown away. Some are recycled, a lot are not.
Mm-hmm.
Would you not? A lot of people just...
No, 100%. And you know me.
Bring your own water bottle. Yeah, bring your own coffee cup.
The thing is, I've bought around 15 water bottles and I say around 10 travel cups. I reckon I've spent around €300.
You keep losing them.
I left one in RTE one day and I didn't want to seem cheap by ringing them. I didn't want to. So, like, we're in the boardroom in RTE. This is pre-COVID, pre-TV show. And we had a meeting. I think it was about something anyway. And we're in some boardroom having a big fucking meeting. And I left my water bottle there. And I actually bought an expensive one that keeps the water cold.
It was nice.
And I left it there. And then I was like, this thing, I'm a cheap bastard now. You know, if I ring up and be like, I left a water bottle behind her, can you post it to me?
Do you know
when you're trying to charge him good money, you know, you don't want to make out like a water bottle bothers you.
Yeah, but the issue was not money.
Mm.
When we were young, there was an ad campaign on telly: reduce, reuse, recycle. Yeah. And do you know what, lad? It is that simple for most people. Like the big decisions are going to be made by government. Are we going to move to renewable energy? All that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But I think we're doing a bit better here in Ireland. You know, when we were in New York, just one bin, like.
Scandalous. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. But Ireland this year, because of the COVID, we're going to meet our targets.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we would have been paying massive money to Europe because we wouldn't have met our carbon targets. Yeah. And
you're passionate about that now.
Yeah, but just tell you, some people are like, oh, it's a load of shit, whatever. Like, that's not the issue. We've signed up this agreement. It's going to cost us millions if we don't hit the target. So yeah,
and we'll be the ones paying for it.
We'll be paying for it. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we're not going to leave the EU. We may as well fucking get on with it now.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
A little bit better to planet. Like, we know lads who a friend of ours said he knows how many times his neighbour goes up and down the road because there's a disposable coffee cup.
Every time.
On the ditch every time. Yeah. Cut that out now.
There you go. My dirt of the week is obviously Ireland losing on penalties to Slovakia. Heartbreaking stuff. I watched the game. So much negativity. People, like, listen, Irish soccer. I love soccer. I follow soccer big time. We definitely played better the other night. So we definitely kept the ball better. We actually made an effort to play soccer, which in the past hasn't always been the case with us. But still straight away people are like, ah, fuck's sake. You know, giving up with Stephen Kenny. He's had around two games.
But there was a lot of positivity too.
Yeah. I don't know, lad. There was more negativity, I think. And I just think, like, give the man a chance. You can't judge him yet, obviously, because of COVID. He it wasn't even the team he wanted to select.
I know, but some supporters will look at it and say, Northern Ireland, with a smaller population, have now gotten further than we have.
Yeah.
Like, we have three times the population they have. Surely we should be going at least as far as they are.
It's not in population, really. There's some small, like, you know, Belgium's not huge, like, but they're ranked number one in the world.
Many people live in Belgium, Neil. Yeah, Belgium. Look, soccer in Ireland is in a funny place.
Yeah, we could have done with it.
We could have done with the win.
I went to bed the other night and was like, fuck it, the country could have done with that.
So, could have done with that.
Yeah, we could have done with that. But listen, I don't mean the dirt as in the performance. I mean the dirt as in the negativity reaction towards the team.
And you know
I think
what?
He's just got to support them.
Population of Belgium?
11 million, lad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you know one thing? We can't keep comparing Ireland to Italian 90.
No.
That was the golden generation.
That's true.
And planets aligned. Like, the amount of Irish lads playing soccer in the Premiership.
Yeah.
The Premiership weren't allowed to have so many foreign players.
Yeah.
Planets aligned.
Times have changed.
Times have changed.
Yeah. And I'm just going to finish with my yurt is a recommendation of a program that I've been watching. It's like a good few years old. Line of Duty.
Oh, yeah. Listen here, fella.
Nicking bent coppers. It is absolutely... people recommended it to me for ages. I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to commit.
Yeah.
It's 23 episodes. Get on it. They're recording season 6 at present. It is a must watch. I watched it and I was blown away. I was like, so many twists and turns. It's class. I've only done series 1. I'm halfway through series 2. Unbelievable. What a watch.
Okay. Just a quick shout out to the Asian Games are called off. Not the Olympics, but the GAA. The Asia Games are off because of COVID. And I was talking to a couple of the teams out there in China. And the Asia Games, I think, were supposed to be on in Bangkok, which... Ooh. Would have been fucking wild.
Wild weekend and lucky. And yeah, to anyone who's missing sport the whole lot, we're all witchy. And we hope you're all keeping well. We're approaching a weird time in that we're on level 3. We don't know where it's going to go, but look, we'll stay smiling. Keep positive. Yeah, that's the way to do it. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
See you next week. Go on, good luck.